The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Self-Care While Caregiving. S.D. Flowers, Ph.D., a licensed psychotherapist based in Dallas, shares how caregivers can prioritize self-care. Find a support group or journal. If you are an only child going through this, or your family environment isn't supportive, you need to have a healthy outlet, a safe space where you can process the thoughts and feelings that might come up. Show yourself compassion. This means you need to practice being kind to yourself and acknowledge all the things that are going right for you and your loved one, while also gracefully accepting your limitations without judgment. The next article is titled, The Year of Saying No. Here, we celebrate three public figures who have shed the superhero trope that has characterized Black women for too long, and whose courageous actions have taught us the soul-restoring power of choosing ourselves over everything. This year, Black women demanded a long-overdue reprieve from their status as the least protected group in America, and took public stands to protect and care for themselves. In 2020, it was the year in which just about everything in our social political reality changed. Then 2021 marked the start of an era in which mental health went from being discussed in the abstract to being acknowledged as an issue every bit as serious and layered as any physical ailment. And it's Black women who were most vocal and compelling in defense of their emotional stability on a national and global scale. Across the realms of sports, entertainment, and academia, Black women spoke up to set a much needed example of radical self-care, publicly saying no to what others desired of them, and most important, saying yes to themselves by prioritizing their own needs above society's wants. Their transparency and willingness to defy expectations have created a new blueprint for what it looks like to love oneself out loud. In the process, they have inspired generations of women to protect their peace above all else. More than a medal, America's most decorated gymnast is known as the GOAT. But Simone Biles wants you to know she's human first. When Simone Biles first made the decision to withdraw from certain Olympic gymnastics events this past summer, she was devastated. I trained for 5 years, and then to just have to take a step back on one of the biggest stages that only ever happens every 4 years was really heartbreaking, she says. She resolved to withdraw from the team competition quickly, as she had only 2 minutes to make up her mind. Her judgment was born of a desire not to cost her team a medal, and Biles also needed to take care of herself by fully assessing whether she could compete safely in the subsequent all-around and individual events. She modeled prioritizing mental and physical health as an athlete, a topic of conversation that has the sports world riveted this year, especially where Black women are concerned. I definitely knew any stand I took would be a little bit bigger than itself, Biles reflects. At the end of the day, we are humans. We are not just athletes. We are not just here for entertainment. For Jordan Childs, a fellow U.S. gymnast and friend who replaced Fowles on the Uneven Bars event at short notice, her teammate's choice was inspirational. She raised a standard in the gymnastics world, says Childs, and she needs to keep raising our standard because she is a strong, intelligent woman. Biles later explained that she left because she had been suffering from the twisties, a disorientating feeling of getting lost in the air, a condition other gymnasts understood. Childs described it as a pilot going onto a plane and not knowing how to fly it. Indeed, after Biles stepped down, many gymnasts rushed to explain that the twisties is an experience that must be honored or the consequences could be catastrophic. Biles was cleared by medical personnel to compete on the individual beam event, for which she won bronze. She also left the games with a team silver, even as she faced ugly criticism for choosing to put her mental health first. But she felt empowered by fellow athletes who thanked her for her courage and by the compassion she received from many fans. "I feel content with what I did and how I made the decision," she says. Even before the Tokyo Olympics, Biles arguably had nothing left to prove. Regarded as the GOAT, the greatest of all time in her sport, she became the first female athlete to be honored with her own Twitter emoji. And she even has a jewel-encrusted outline of a goat adorning her leotards. Looking ahead, Biles has yet to determine if she'll compete at the next Olympics, but she continues to help make the sport safer for other girls. After identifying as one of the many survivors of sexual abuse by Larry Nassar, the former team doctor for USA Gymnastics, Biles testified before Congress about the FBI's mishandling of the case. Her activism underscores a vital lesson she says she learned in Tokyo, which now informs the advice she would give others. "Take care of yourself first," she says. "You are more than any medal that you could ever win." When No opens doors for journalist Nicole Hannah Jones, choosing to be treated with respect led to something greater. Saying no can be an act of self-preservation. For Pulitzer Prize winner Nicole Hannah Jones, it may also be an act of service. The University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, had pursued Hannah Jones for a tenured position, but when she accepted, the school unexpectedly withdrew the tenure portion of the offer. After a month of faculty protest and resignations, UNC Chapel Hill eventually caved and approved the tenure, but Hannah Jones was playing chess, not checkers. In a surprise move, she declined the position and announced she would join the faculty of Howard University instead. "It was important for me to say no to UNC for my dignity, my self-respect," she explained. "And then outside of me, I needed to do it for Black people and marginalized people, for their dignity and respect too." The process of granting university tenure does not ordinarily capture national headlines, but Hannah Jones' work is anything but ordinary. The 1619 Project she conceived as a special issue of the New York Times Magazine is a collection of essays and art that recenters Black American enslavement and labor in the country's founding history. The groundbreaking work has since been published as a book, The 1619 Project, An Origin Story, with new contributions on the Haitian Revolution and settler colonialism. Predictably, Hannah Jones's work has taken on an outsized meaning for prominent right-wingers. Former President Donald Trump challenged her 1619 project with a 1776 commission. UNC donor Walter Hussman Jr., after whom UNC's journalism school was named following his $25 million pledge, reportedly questioned Hannah Jones's credentials, possibly influencing the revocation of her tenure offer. When reporting came out that a very wealthy white male donor was disparaging me as a journalist, Hannah Jones later said, referring to Hussman, "I knew that I could not ever work for a school named after him." Across the country, a chorus of voices were raised in solidarity with Hannah Jones. A lot of people were watching, people who wouldn't think you would have any investment at all in whether some New York Times reporter gets tenure at a university, notes Hannah Jones. One TSA agent told me, "I hope North Carolina does right by you." In the end, her antagonist cleared the journalist path to mentoring and developing more reporters of color. Hannah Jones is creating Howard University's Center for Journalism and Democracy, which will also provide resources to HBCU students beyond Howard. Mirroring Hussman's UNC donation, she has raised $25 million to fund the center. Here's to a $25 million checkmate. Simply being, as an entertainer, Lizzo doesn't fit into anyone's mold, and that's exactly how she likes it. As I log into Zoom to interview Lizzo on a Tuesday morning, my main objective is to not be a hypocrite. As a plus-size black woman, I know what it is like to have every aspect of your existence seen through the lens of your physicality. I also know that once the Pandora's box of body positivity is opened, it's hard to close back. It's exhausting, Lizzo admits, and that's the point. I don't want to talk about this anymore. We should be neutral about bodies, but it is almost like I invented toaster strudel. Like, sis, you ain't never going to stop talking about toaster strudel. The difference, of course, is that a fat black female pop artist isn't a product, and her talent isn't something Lizzo is trying to sell anyone on. Her real accomplishment is staying true to her artistry in an industry with a limited view of who gets to be mainstream. And she doesn't hesitate to double down when her authenticity is challenged. Lizzo may have told us in a song that all the rumors are true, but in real life, the rapper and singer-songwriter says, "No one's ever right about me." Born in Detroit and bred in Houston, Lizzo is forced to contend with presumptions about the sonic qualities her music should possess. Even with 3 Grammy Awards and 3 singles that have landed in the top 10 spots on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, the 33-year-old classically trained flutist is still being encouraged to change her sound to fall in line with what's traditionally thought of as black music. "I use 808s, just not in the same way everyone else does," she explains of the drum machine that characterizes most of today's hip-hop and R&B. "I have songs I could drop right now, but that's just not my purpose. That's not why God made me and put me on this planet at this exact time." Twerking against the tide of racism and fatphobia of an international scale to create music that makes people feel something is a battle that ebbs and flows with each new TikTok and single release. It's why fellow artist SZA considers Lizzo a modern-day martyr. Nobody realizes what it takes to actually free an entire group of marginalized and frequently oppressed people, the singer says of her longtime friend. She's carrying that all on her own. There's no one more popular in her position. The fact that she continues to put her heart, integrity, and energy on the line just so everybody has the right to feel beautiful and free, that's priceless. Shouldering that burden and receiving praise for it is loaded. However, so much so that Lizzo reveals she sometimes finds herself asking, "Are you applauding me because I'm talented, or are you applauding me because I'm fat and I'm a black woman? And you didn't expect me to do this." Acknowledging the public tears she's shed in some of her sadder moments, Lizzo assures that there have been just as many laughs over making naysayers mad. Therapy, and on her worst days, committing to going to bed feeling better than when she woke up, helps her manage emotions when evidence that the world doesn't truly love black women is at its peak. "Mental health could ruin my friendships, my relationships, and my day, but it's not going to ruin my music and my career," she declares. Hell no. And Lizzo remains unwavering in her resolve not to be revolutionary, but simply to be just as she is. "When I started, it was like, I'm in love with myself and my skin," she says. The 2021 version of that is, "Keep pushing, keep the conversation moving. My body shouldn't be shocking anymore. You have seen it, you know it, you either like it or you don't. Now shut the blank up about it." The next article is titled, "The Greatest Love of All. Meet black women just like you who took bold actions to better cherish the woman in the mirror and richly benefited." Black superwoman, she can save the world, but tell me who gonna save her? Croons artist Zaya Bell in her smoldering song, Black Superwoman. In 2020, we saw black women literally decide the fate of the world and pull America's democracy back from a cliff with our voting power. Then in 2021, with self-care assuming greater importance in our lives, we began to understand the true answer to Bella's question. Collectively, black women will save ourselves. One by one, group chat by group chat, we are prioritizing our own lives, an imperative denied to us for centuries. From Trisha Hersey's NAP ministry, which censors rest as resistance, to watching superstars like Olympic gymnast Simone Biles and tennis player Naomi Osaka choose their mental health over accolades. We are seeing a revival of black women boldly choosing ourselves above all else. At last, the secret's out. A small act of self-love can bring about radical changes for good in our lives. Get ready to grab the baton from these inspiring women and get down to the business of putting yourself first now. I shared my heartbreak and freed myself. Nia, 29, author of Missing My Becoming. "I was that person who posted everything about her life and relationship all the time on social media. When I got married, I shared every detail, from the proposal to the planning, and even had my wedding featured on Essence.com. My dream came true, but I had been in a relationship for 3 years and in a marriage for a year when I finally started to acknowledge the feeling of being in a nightmare. Nothing had changed except for me. I didn't know who I was or who I wanted to be. And in order for me to see myself, I had to get out of my marriage and choose myself. 2 weeks after my ex moved out the city, I was having a rough time with being alone in silence. During a conversation one night, a loved one said to me, "Well, I bet you won't write or post about this, huh?" This being the fact that I was getting divorced, I felt so much shame. Social media can brainwash us, and I played right into the brainwashing. I posted wedding pictures while completely miserable inside. I posted pretty pictures the day after crying myself to sleep, wanting so badly to contribute to a hashtag black love hashtag when it wasn't true for me. I felt like a fraud and a failure. And then I found myself in the middle of a divorce while a pandemic raged. I had even more time to sit with my thoughts and learn to love myself. I thought about whether I would share this part of my life, and then I laughed and decided, hell yes, I'm going to share and talk about my divorce. I'll never be ashamed of choosing me. I started to post about my experience, and I even self-published my first book this year. It is dedicated to all the women who stay silent about their pain, who aren't yet able to choose themselves. By sharing my pain, I can now see the beauty in our stories. I found my stride. I am a workaholic, so when the world stopped, it was a complete shock to my system. I quickly realized I was on my personal hamster wheel, spinning around unnecessarily, getting tired, making progress but not enough. So I took one of the deepest and most life-regenerating sighs of release and just stopped. It was time to reconnect with myself. I started running for exercise. I've now completed 3 to 4 miles 4 days a week, every week for the last year. I have never been this consistent in caring for myself. Tyra Hardwick, 45, Houston. I hit reset. As a brown girl from the projects who lost her mom to suicide as a teen, I surpassed what people expected from my upbringing. Before the pandemic hit, I thought I was riding high. I had moved from Washington, D.C. to California for an amazing job and salary, and I had met a great guy. When I look back, I can see the truth. I was settling for good enough. The job was stressing me out, and as the end of 2020 approached, like many, I found myself jobless. At the same time, a close relative was facing deep anxiety and depression. I had to take a more honest look at everything in my life and shift. I took part of my severance and invested in a professional coach for myself. I also redefined my relationship with work and found a job that better suited me. Despite taking a pay cut, I am now so much more balanced and happy. I also allowed my man to love and support me, which is something new for me as a recovering, strong black woman. It took a couple of tries to find the right therapist, but I ended up with a powerful sister who knows her stuff. I finally understood that it is up to me to nurture my mind, body, and spirit. Trina Ramsey, 55, Oakland. I stopped putting off my pleasure. At the peak of the pandemic, I sat down one day worrying about the future for my children and myself. If this was the end of the world, was this how my life would be summed up? I looked at all the shoes and dresses I had piled up but rarely wore. I had been saving my best for some day, that special day off in the future. With so much destruction all around, I decided enough was enough. When the virus died down, I moved to a new place and started beautifying my space with plants and nice plates. I decluttered my wardrobe. I treated myself to some expensive jewelry that I actually wear. I then joined a women's group and started saying yes to more meetups. It's been a few months, and I am the happiest I have been in a long time. I remembered that I am important, and I am worth the best of everything right now. Miss Cold Sweat, 35, Lagos, Nigeria. I count my blessings. For the past 20 years, I have journaled almost daily. I collect beautiful notebooks, especially ones with butterflies. In January 2019, I bought one, opened it, and found no lines upon which to write. I realized it was a four-year calendar. I was pleasantly surprised when days later my spirit said, write your blessings in each day's slot. Adding this practice to my morning prayers and meditation has brought an amazing element of self-care to my days and a deeper awareness of God's love. When the pandemic began, I was confused and anxious like most, and then I flipped through all the pages of blessings and knew God had us. This practice has anchored my spirit through uncharted waters in 2021. It remains the core of my start of each new day. Stephanie D. Roll, 60s, Hanover, Maryland. I remixed my work schedule. Becky A. Davis, 50s, founder of the Bosspreneur Accelerator Academy. I've spent the last decade helping Black women business owners, and I realized this year that I was missing a major point. I was in two business masterminds with other entrepreneurs, and the majority were white. I was one of only three Black people, and the only three of us hustling hard all the time were me and the other two Black people. We all knew you have to work hard as an entrepreneur, and too often African Americans are conditioned to just be going all the time.
Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.